been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Purple Friday preview. We're looking forward to the Raiders coming to town here in Baltimore. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. That's right. Joining me, as always, Josh. What is going on, man? Happy Purple Friday.
Purple Friday, man. This is awesome. Hey, guys, it's my last Purple Friday in my 20s. Can you believe it?
How does it feel? How does it feel to be an old man now? You've joined my group.
I'm not old. Oh, I'm joining your group? I didn't know you had a group.
I eat dinner at 4 o'clock. I go to bed at 9.
Go to bed at 9? Oh, wow. Jeez, man.
Oh, yeah. That's what you do when you get old.
So I guess when the Ravens are playing at night, you're sleeping during the game.
That's my biggest complaint on Thursday night games is the fact that they start so late.
You old man. You sound like the guys that I used to tell you. The guys that they were always doing that. They're like, I like the 1 o'clock games. We can get home and relax. I was like, I hate these 8:30 games getting home at like 1 a.m. I'm like, oh, wise up. But yeah, man, Purple Friday, Raiders edition. Week 4 in the NFL season, it's going to be grand, man. Back at the bank for 2.
That's right. So, the Raiders, the Raiders beat the Ravens last year on a baseball field. what's the biggest difference between last year and this year when it comes to the Raiders?
Well, they're playing at our house, which is real grass, first off, in a real football stadium. Second off, the difference is it's night and day for our team. The difference is last year we opened 2 straight on the road, and it was like this whole close game thing, man. We knew last year we were 0-3. We were losing close games. We barely lost to the Broncos in week 1. We barely lost to the Raiders in week 2. Remember, we had both game-winning drives there and they stalled. And now this year, we actually are on the winning side of things for a change, and the Raiders come to our side. But they actually are pretty much identical Raiders that we've seen last year. Same pieces. Amari Cooper's another year under his belt. They had Derek Carr, who's tearing it up. Latavius Murray. They have Michael Crabtree. We do have some new faces. I mean, Khalil Mack's going to be Khalil Mack on the defense. But we have a familiar face on our Super Bowl team. Kalichio Smelly is returning. And he's looking forward to pancaking some of our Ravens, man. I don't know if he means eat them as pancakes or pancake block, but either way, look out for the pancake.
Yeah, that's real interesting. I'm glad you brought up Kelechi because we got him a couple of years ago. He started his career as a Raven, but left the Ravens on very bad terms. Usually when it's like a homecoming for a former Raven, there's usually something going on and there's video packages and they send a wave out to the crowd or whatever. This guy, it seems as if he's a little bitter. He seems like the guy who was expecting a little bit more, and the Ravens didn't give it to him. He wanted a bigger paycheck. The Ravens had some other plans. They signed, Marshall Yanda, gave him a little extra money, didn't sign Kelechi, was able to get Weddle and Wallace and a couple other guys. But it seems as if Kelechi's a little offended by that, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder coming back to Baltimore.
He is, man, and rightfully so, and I do understand that. And it's not on bad terms. It's just, I remember the way he left. He was kind of bad-mouthing him. I'm like, you're going to bad-mouth the source. You number one drafted you, gave you NFL life too. You won a Super Bowl ring here and were part of that run, and then you're going to leave and shoot off at the mouth. I just don't understand that. So we'll have Steve Smith put him in place because Steve Smith's our spokesperson for trash talk, man. And don't put it past you. Speaking of that, I heard Mike Wallace this week saying how Joe Flacco likes to talk trash on the field. Did you hear about that?
Well, he was talking trash in the preseason, if you remember, with Kamalea Correa, and he goes, I can talk all the trash I want. I got an entire offensive line on my side. They're not going to let anything happen to me.
No, not at all.
He's like Enzo Amore, and the entire O-line is like Big Cass.
And you can't teach that. I love it. They're one of my favorites, man. I love – anytime they're on, I can just watch them on a loop. They're so, I think one of the last pay-per-view – I think it was SummerSlam. SummerSlam, they were on a roll. I don't know. They were awesome.
They were in their hometown. They were in New York or their home neighborhood, and so they got a little extra time on the mic and, of course, lit the world on fire. But Joe, he talks some trash. He's like Enzo. He's pretty smart out there on the field. I'm sure he does a lot in the locker room as well. Kelechi Osemele, though, he says he's going to pancake a couple guys. He's got some ill will towards some guys he used to work with. Who do you think is going to be some of his targets?
Yeah, I think the whole defensive line, pretty much. Sizz will be up there. We have the welcoming of Doom back on the team this year for the first time. I'm sure he'll be a target, but I would think Timmy Jernigan and Brandon Williams because he's going to be in the line. But it depends where the pass rush is coming from, where Kelechi's going to be lined up. That's going to be a fun battle to watch on Sunday, man. I really can't wait to see how that unfolds because he knows these guys. He knows these guys very well. He played against him in practice and scrimmages, and I'm not into the whole the player or the coaches leave and they go on the opposing teams and they give tidbits on how. And sure, it happens, but you really can't because it doesn't play to its advantage. Because you know how many times did you know like Doom? You know his old team was the Broncos, but he's not going to give us an edge on how all the Broncos do things. It's just not how it works. I mean, yeah, he can give tendencies, but what it comes down to is lining up and playing football. And the Ravens, he better be ready because if there's any indication how the Ravens played the fourth quarter and lockdown and pass rushes, you got to give it to. But I want to also cover that because I don't know if you saw this, but this is something new, and I really hope the Ravens continue this, Brandon. For all those who didn't look, I don't know if you logged on the Ravens app or the Ravens.com, BaltimoreRavens.com. Did you see the post by Garrett Downing saying what you missed in Jacksonville? Did you see his videos strategically placed in there? That was awesome. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see it?
No, I saw one video he posted of Brandon Williams on that block punt. That's the only one I've seen.
Well, yeah, that's correct. So for all who didn't see it, and if you do, you can just relive it because it's awesome. Garrett Downing placed he's staff writer for the Ravens. He placed some videos in that article, and it showed, number one, like Suggs's two sacks on how he maneuvered through the line. It showed the field goal block, and it showed some of the plays there. It showed Timmy Jernigan being triple-teamed and putting his big arms up in the air and blocking the pass. So it's really good. So that's what Kelechi Osemele has to look out for to answer your questions, man. It's he's gonna have his hands full come Sunday in the whole line because it's going to be a war, man. You got a 2-1 team coming in. They're riding high. Jack Del Rio's got this team coached. Another one of our former coaches, man. I know Ray Lewis was quoting by saying that Jack Del Rio was his favorite coaches of all time on the staff. And he's got these guys playing at a high level, fired up. It's going to be an AFC war. Can we do 4 AFC wins in a row to start the season? We won't know until about 4 o'clock when the dust settles at the bank. But it's going to be a pretty good battle, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So sticking on the defense a little bit, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about Osemele. We'll have him in the conversation a little bit. But with the addition of Osemele to the Raiders, I believe I read that this year they only have given up 2 sacks in the first 3 games. So that is quite an amazement right there. I mean, their quarterback is, he's able to make plays and do what he has to do, and they're keeping him, they're allowing him in the pocket. So that's going to be a lot of trouble for the defensive line. However, it all signs point to Elvis Dumervil being active this time around. It seems as if he's coming back, and this is going to be his first game of the year. What's he going to do? What's he going to do to this offensive line for the Raiders that looks really, really good right now?
Oh, what's he going to do? He's going to add another element of pass rush. Shall I say Elvis has entered the building? The king is back. It's going to be awesome, man. I really can't wait to see the dynamic that he adds to the pass rush. Suggs, you already know what he can do. Jernigan, it's going to be a triple threat out there, man, because you got Doom adding that. He's fresh from what I hear. I really can't wait to see how it goes and how it comes into play for us, man. I'm very excited for that opportunity to really see how the first game is going to fold. And everybody's like, well, if the defense is playing at a high level now, people get this misconstrued, man. They're like, well, if you add him in, you know, will it change the chemistry of defense? No, it makes them better. I don't know why you would question the chemistry of the defense, and I can see why somebody would put that notion out there because they're playing at a high level now with the cohesiveness they have, and if you add Doom in, does it take away from somebody else's job? I don't think so. I think it's all systems forward going in on this one, man. I think Doom's going to really be a breath of fresh air.
That's good to hear. You know, the defense, again, looking amazing this year. We're a 3-0 team, especially due to the defensive line. But let's switch sides of the ball. Let's talk about offense. Like we said last episode, the offense very uneven. I mean, looking amazing and then doing nothing. Now we got another wrinkle in the plan. On Wednesday, reports came out that Ronnie Stanley was seen around the castle in a walking boot, which is very scary to think about. I mean, we brought him in to protect Joe Flacco. He's done a pretty good job. He made the hole for Joe Flacco to get the touchdown in the last game. However, besides Ronnie Stanley, there's also been Alex Lewis out due to a concussion, going through, you know, a concussion protocol, making sure he's safe in the brain. So with potentially Ronnie Stanley and Alex Lewis both out this game, I mean, let's just say that happens. What does the offensive line do on that left side? Because it's an O-line, but there might just be a giant gaping hole on that side.
I hope that's not the case, man. But there might be. And I really hope, if that happens, we that gets taken care of quickly. I don't want to see that happening. But from given how the play has happened in the last 3 weeks, I don't think it could happen. But time will tell, man. I really don't. That side, the problem is on that one. I mean, we've seen how athletic he was on the downfield blocking, but if he were to be lost, they could collapse that side, because if Alex Lewis is already banged up as it is and we have a whole rookie left side there, it's going to be tough to put reinforcements in, because I really have to look on a depth chart to see who's going to really fill the spots there. But I really hope that's not the case at all, man, because it's scary to think about because of, you know, Joe's knee trying to recover, and we already know that he's favoring it, even though he says he's not, or if he you know, doubts the idea that that's even happening. And I really hope it's all system forward for Stanley. And reports haven't been out there to clarify what actually happened. I don't even know when he heard it in the game. So it was really tough for me to even find the news on that, because the Ravens were hush-hush about it. I actually had to dig on Twitter a little bit and thank our boys at Russell Street Report for putting that out there. But I'm not really too concerned about it, because it wasn't on the Ravens' initial website. It wasn't out there for and it's going to be interesting to see when the injury report gets released on that, and one, what his physical stat is. I'm concerned if he can't play, how that left side is going to hold up.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a couple guys that could step in. James Hurst could step into that position. You know, if Alex Lewis isn't cleared from his concussion protocol, if Ronnie Stanley's out. But you do have a couple other choices here. You have Ryan Jensen, Marshall Yanda, Rich Ragnar. Marshall really hasn't moved over to that left side ever, so I really don't see him going over there. But what about a guy like Ryan Jensen? He's a young guy. Could he potentially move over into that left slot?
Well, I like Ryan a lot. I think he could move over, and I think you might see a shuffle. I mean, Zuda's going to stay at the center, but I think you're going to see a shuffle. You might see Yana go back over to left side to really help reinforce that, and him being a Pro Bowl veteran. I think that might happen, and then maybe sprinkle and go over on the other side. But I think that's what's going to happen, is you're going to see some shuffling.
Well, let's hope we see Ronnie Stanley on the field before we start shuffling. That's what I want to see more than anything. But, I mean, the Ravens have to look at things like this. If he's not up for the game, I mean, somebody else is going to have to step in. But, like you're always preaching, it's always next man up with this team.
It is, and that's been the mantra. I mean, you hate to say it, but that's football. Next man up mentality, you know, let's promote from within and get the job done. And that's why you have a 53-man roster, because you have 11 play on offense, 11 play on defense. You have sprinkled out special teams and shared responsibilities. But when it comes down to it, when injuries happen, next man up. We had it in Super Bowl year. We've had it in previous years. You know, we had it even last year. Flacco went down. Ryan Mallett stepped in. Yeah, it wasn't a playoff year, and he only got 5 wins, but Ryan Mallett was huge in that. Remember that emotional win in that picture last year when he was hugging and embracing the coaching staff after that Steelers win, and he led us to victory. So it's happened before. It's always been next man up. It's been next man up since 2000, since 1996 when we came here, and it's not going to change.
All right, so let me ask you. This is going to be the last game that Darren Waller is not allowed to play due to being suspended. I mean, with you're not a fortune teller, but seeing what we've seen from the tight ends the first three games, do you think that there's anybody in the tight end position that Darren Waller is going to maybe take his spot? Because, like we said, besides Dennis Pitta, there really hasn't been anyone to talk about in the tight ends.
No, I'm not really worried about as far as taking over, but it's going to be shared responsibility. And those who forget, you can't forget that this is the last game without Darren Waller. So you figure if Pitt is playing at a high level now and you add Darren Waller, it's going to add another dimension to this offense. That's why you got to keep steadfast to Harbaugh's words. We're only going to get better. If we're 3-0 going on the cusp of 4-0 or 3-1, however we look at the record, and they're getting their footing. I mean, again, they didn't really gel in preseason. They didn't have a lot of playing time because, you know, Steve Smith didn't play all preseason. So he finally got his warm-up game in week three, and he got going with 8 catches and 87 yards, respectively. It's going to happen. So I'm very excited to see what Darren Waller adds in week five as we cover that in 2 weeks going forward. And Darren Waller is going to add that second dimension, man. It's going to add a breath of fresh air, give Pitta some relief because, yeah, Pitta's healthy and he's having a strong season right now, but can he sustain that through 16 games? So it's going to give Pitta a chance. Waller's fresh. Waller's big. He's athletic. He had a strong preseason. I really can't wait to see how that's going to add. I mean, you get Doom back. Now we get Waller back. Who knows? We go in a deep run him. Then we get Nick Boyle back after week 10, and we get him in week 11. So if the Ravens keep up the momentum, what they're doing, we slowly get pieces back. And if we can, knock on wood, remain healthy, sky's the limit for this team, man.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do with Darren Waller. The reason I'm bringing him up a week early is because this is the last time to really impress the coaches. Because, again, Max Williams hasn't done anything this season at all, and Crockett Gilmore's dropped a pass. So, yeah, I think Darren Waller will add something else to the tight ends, but I was just wondering, you know, what's he going to do with these other guys, you know, because he might come into week five and outshine some of these guys. But we'll see what happens next week. Last little question about the offense. Running game, again, non-existent the last 3 weeks. Do you see the Ravens doing anything differently this week, or is the Oakland defense something that they could take advantage of? What I guess that's my bigger question. What is the Oakland defense? Are they known for being able to stop the running game? Is this something that the Ravens like have to plan for special? Is it going to be a factor in the game Sunday?
It's going to be a big factor because, I mean, you have some young players on defense. That Oakland defense is pretty stout. I mean, they had a track meet against the Saints. I mean, the Saints are the Saints. It's Drew Brees' offense. I mean, we look at our defense. You know, we were awesome in week one. Let the Browns go up and down the field and McCown up down the field in week two. We were stout when we needed to be stout in week three. So, I mean, defenses are week to week unless you really have that strong defense who's just consistent. We need that. But it's going to be a big matchup problem if, like we talked about earlier, if the line can't hold up and certain players can't play. It's going to be a big matchup if we can't protect. But it all comes back down to protection because if the line's not getting penetration and defense is getting in the backfield, that's why the running game's non-existent because the line's not holding up long enough for the seal the blocks to make the lanes for the running game. And the runners have to make their own and create their own, and they're back there dancing, trying to get around to the other side, and it's not working out. And then with Flacco and his pass protection, you know, Flacco can't have an effective game if he's running around, always trying to do check downs, and the reason why everybody's all frustrated. I know we were frustrated watching the game. Why are we always throwing it 3- and 4-yard check downs? Why are we always throwing it to flats and tight ends? Well, yeah, maybe you have to actually look at it and have the defense take what's given you, and maybe because of the pass rush, and that's all Flacco did. He wanted to take shots down the field, and when he did, it was tough pickings, and that's what's going to be the war in the trenches to really look out for. But the running game, it has to get going because Flacco can't throw the ball 40, 50 times a game and expect this winning streak to continue or any winning this year. It's got to stop and stop now. But it's just definitely going to really be a glaring, really glaring thing to look at this past week.
All right. So last question, special teams, do they block a punt or a field goal this game?
Good question. Is it 3 games in a row? Can we do it? Hey, they haven't blocked a punt. Hey, I can say both, but, I'm going to go to the trends continue. Let's go another field goal block in week three. And I actually had that discussion this past week with a few people. Remember we were talking about in the Red Eye review how this team could be dangerous because they came down from 20 points. They can make plays anywhere. Yeah, they can give up plays, but then they can make plays anywhere. They can get tip balls, and it was exciting to get some tip balls, which didn't happen last year of old, and we love that. I think it happens, and I even said don't put it past us where teams line up for, like, say, a game-winning field goal, and they get in their head, hey, this team has blocked one in Cleveland. They blocked one in Jacksonville to change the course of the game. Don't you let you think that they can reinforce that side, and they might overshoot it, and then they might come and block it from the other side. Who knows? But special teams, you know, give Harbaugh credit. I mean, he's a special teams coach specialist, coming here as a head coach years ago. And, you know, special teams, not the return game, but special teams in itself always been that. You know, going back to last year with the block field goal return, walk-off return back on Monday Night Football against Cleveland, and then with what's happening this year. And it's happened in years past in games. It's happened against the Titans years ago. It's happened before in a lot of other games where we've blocked kicks and returns and returned for touchdowns. And I think the trend continues. I'm going to predict another field goal block, but we'll see what happens.
All right, so last little bit before we get out of here. Congratulations to Joe Flacco and his family for adding yet another raven to his flock. Earlier this week, the Flaccos welcomed a baby girl into their family. Big congrats to them.
Yeah, man. I got that news this week. It's awesome. I mean, you know, I was very proud to hear the news. And hey, Flacco's got the girl now. He had three boys going. He was building himself a little franchise there, but now he's got the girl in his hands. And welcome another addition to the Ravens family and the Flacco family. Congrats to Flacco and his family. It's great. I hope the mother and baby are doing well. And I just really can't wait to see, man. He's got a beautiful family, and he's growing it, man. Who knows? Hey, someone even said this week on Twitter, hey, could he match his number and have five kids? And I wouldn't put it past him. Someone joked at work today, he was pregnant again. Man, he's always having a kid like every other year. And I joked and I said, well, guess what happens when you hurt your knee and you can't play? You got to do other things, right? So I guess I faint 9 months later, and it's October? You know, coming up on October, September, she figured that was what? In December of last year, mm-hmm. Something like that. So, you know, you figure around the end of the season last year, around when he got hurt. So, always joke and say, hey, you know, he's got downtime. Why not start building the Flacco legacy? And sure they did.
They call him January Jones for a reason.
January Joe, not Jones.
Oh, no, he was jonesing for something back in January.
How about we let Jones in for a win this weekend? How's that?
That sounds pretty good. So, Josh, did we cover everything? Did we cover everything?
Oh, sorry about that. My power just went out.
It's really dark in seeing you right now. Holy, it's back.
Yeah, it's back.
Holy
now
cow.
It's going out again. Yeah. I don't know.
What was that?
It was just weird because, like, you were on, and then I thought it cut my whole feed off, but you were still there. And I heard Josh, and then it was like,
it's flickering now.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah, I was looking at my one laptop, and I'm like, have we covered everything? And I look back over to you, and I'm like, why are you just in the dark all of a sudden?
Hey, Brandon, we covered this one to the north, south, east, and to the Terrence West.
All right, guys. So if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can at least talk to me. I don't know if Josh is going to have power after this. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, whether the lights are on or off.
All right, guys. So this is an international Baltimore Ravens podcast. We have listeners from the UK, from Montreal, from Sweden, from Denmark. I think we have one or two maybe in Baltimore. I think we have just one or two in Baltimore, but this is such a fun show to do. If you need more information about the call, all you got to do is go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast, like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, that's where we do our game day previews. Every time there's a game day in the morning, we'll let you know. We do a quick show. You guys can interact with us. We will be live on Facebook Live. You can ask questions while we're on. That's a really cool thing to do. Josh did one last week. I think you did one from week one while he was tailgating in Lot H. So you get to see all kinds of cool stuff going on around Ravens game day. So, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, which is, it's not Overcast at Josh's house. It's Thunder and Lightning.
I don't know what it's doing.
That's right. And Google Play Music and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. You have friends, right? We're not your only friends. Well, tell them about the call. So let everybody know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and Lyft and Uber and iTunes. Yeah, write us an iTunes review on Apple Music. Anywhere you're social, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. It is Purple Friday and the call's getting me ready. You should listen and you should get ready too, because the Ravens are going to beat those Raiders. All right, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's been always great going into week four. We have the Raiders coming into town, 2-1. They're hungry as always. It's going to be AFC battle at the bank. The first of two installments going into October, closing out the first quarter of the season. Hey, can we do it? Can we be a perfect 4-0? Let's see how it happens at the bank. I really can't wait. It's going to be a great showdown, guys. Really root hard. I can't wait to everybody flocking down to the stadium, flocking to your TVs, flocking to your radio feeds, however you get to the Ravens. Just get there, root hard, put on your colors, show the support. Let's show this team that we mean business, and when we mean business by mean, let's beating those Raiders on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.